You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Dr. Allison Marshall.
And I'm Dr. John Langlois.
And you are listening to the special monthly Chi University episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. Good morning, Horse World. Welcome to our once-a-month look at traditional Chinese veterinary medicine with the Chi University. So, John, we've got a really interesting topic to talk about today. We're going to talk about a branch of Chinese medicine called Tui Na. And for anybody who cares about that, that is spelled T-U-I-N-A. And it is pronounced Tui Na. And it is the sort of bodywork version of Chinese medicine. So you want to talk a little bit more about what that is, John?
Sure. Well, just to be a little formal about it at first, let's just define the term Tui Na, and that is a Chinese manipulative therapy applied to acupuncture points and meridians for prevention and treatment of disease. So we recognize this as an ancient discipline over 3,000 years ago, and it is the predecessor to modern chiropractic medicine. So it's been around a very, very long time because the Chinese recognized its benefits of using kind of a body work. But the body work is not just basic massage. And I teach the Tui Na class at the Chi University, and many times the students will go, well, how do you differ as a Tui Na practitioner versus a regular body worker or massage person? And I said, well, there's many aspects of that are the same, but we are using Chinese principles for TCVM. In other words, we want to understand the same way we would if we were going to do acupuncture. What is our diagnosis? What is our pattern? How are we going to approach that? So we have to follow those principles and guidance of traditional Chinese medicine, not just doing body work. So we incorporate our efforts to do Tui Na in that regard. And there's what we're trying to actually do is restore balance to the body. We're trying to get the blood and the what we call the qi or the energy within the body to move. We can affect the internal organs. We can affect musculoskeletal system. We can affect immune function this way. We can soothe tendons and ligaments and joints and get the body energy and blood flowing throughout.
So when you talk about approaching it from a TCVM perspective, why don't you elaborate on that a little bit, that we do use tongue and pulses and we do, you know, utilize channel, you know, we use the channels to do what we're doing. So you want to talk a little bit more about that part too?
Sure. Well, in our, there's three things that we tend to look at when we're making a TCVM examination. Again, tongue and pulse are two most important aspects of that. And that gives us an understanding of whether there may be some excesses in the body like heat, or maybe deficiencies in the body like not having enough qi, or maybe not having enough blood in that sense. So we look at the tongue and the pulse, but we also do what we call an AcuScan. And we have mentioned this in a previous podcast, but that's going through the channels to see where there may be specific reactivities. And this helps us to understand what's going on the outside of the body and also what's going in on the internal organs. So these three are our most important aspects to come up with a diagnosis. If you were to go into the hospital with a problem, you would want them to say, what is my diagnosis? And the TCVM practitioner does the same, because we cannot get the results that we would like to have unless we follow a specific diagnosis, meaning that, again, there may be some excess heat in the body. Well, we have to work to clear that heat. There may be not enough support from the lung energy, and then we have coughing and so on and so forth. So we have to follow the principles of supporting that lung by using either Tui Na and or acupuncture and or herbal.
For sure. And I wish we had video capabilities with this particular podcast, because I think an AccuScan is something that people could, like, YouTube video if they wanted to. But we basically take, I think we've gone over it before, but we take an instrument of some sort. And really, I think the most common thing used is a pen cap or the cap of a regular hypodermic needle. And we take something that's got a little bit of a rounded point to it, and we like just put pressure on all the acupuncture points that we can find in the horse's body. And so there are some points that might indicate more than what most points indicate more than one thing, but we scan over the body and we might get some stifle point sensitivity indicating that the stifle would have some weakness or the joint itself could have some problems. Stifle and stomach go together in Chinese medicine. So it could be that there is a stomach ulcer issue, and the combination of sensitivity in the AccuScan is really how a practitioner puts the puzzle pieces together as to what is most likely going on with your horse. So the scan is a super wonderful part of our diagnostic. And I also wish we could have like a video capability of showing Tweena, because it's kind of hard to describe, don't you think?
Yes. And just along that AccuScan, I just submitted a paper to the AAP. We would present a video too to show actually how to do that scan. And this is for Western practitioners to kind of give them a little heads up as to you can actually do this yourself. You don't have to have 100% formal training at TCVM, but to try and incorporate certain aspects into your review to let you get directed to a specific joint or problem area. So let's just mention too, just briefly, you know, what can Tweena do as far as its benefits? And, you know, one of the ones we use most of the time is for musculoskeletal problems, as in the case with Megan. We can work with osteoarthritis or arthritis in joints, disc problems, nerve paralysis, weakness of the hind limbs. Any internal organ dysfunction can be addressed with Tweena. And it's also been shown to be performance enhancing in humans. And I can honestly tell you, in my experience, it's performance enhancing in animals. Mm-hmm. So we can also improve skin and muscle function. Mm-hmm. And it works wonderful for anxiety. So there's so many things that, as is the same as acupuncture can be effective for, Tweena can be effective.
For sure. And actually, when I went through the Tweena course at the Qi University oh so long ago, I remember coming and I've been having some chronic sciatic nerve pain being an equine vet and driving all the time. So much of our lives is spent behind the wheel. And as one of my athletic trainer friend says, sitting is the new smoking. It's that bad for you, everybody out there. So I was having a lot of pain in that area, and I had done acupuncture and I had done chiropractic and I had been really trying to address it in a lot of different ways, massage, all that sort of thing. We had to work on each other in the Tweena class at the Qi University. So we had to practice our techniques on each other. My pain went away, like completely went away. And I asked my acupuncturist, I said, so this is a branch of Chinese medicine. Do you learn this too? And she is trained in Beijing. So she said, oh no, she said, this is considered physical therapy, in China. So an acupuncturist is not necessary. I would love to guide you all into finding a Tweena practitioner for yourself, because I'm pretty smitten with the modality, but, I've been finding it hard to find somebody to work on me as well.
So in our training, as you remember, doctor, there's many, many different schools of Tweena around the world. I think somewhere in 200 right. different schools. So Dr. Shea picked one that he thought was really important. And this incorporates six different kind of movements, including swinging of the limbs or the head, or friction across a specific area, or squeezing an area to try and get movement of qi and blood, and break down stagnation or pain or knots, trembling. We use percussive, where we beat on the horse, not really, but we do it in a specific way to get things moving. And then we have some special manipulations for the movement of joints that we do as well. So what I love to do is when I'm teaching, is to see, we all know that when you do acupuncture, the horse kind of gets into a particular zone where they're kind of like, oh my gosh, this is like spa day for me. Well, it's so wonderful to see students coming in and into class and then going through with nothing but their hands for 45 minutes working on a horse and see this horse get its head down, get its relaxed, and have them follow through with their scan to see, wow, I really did a lot with just my hands doing it properly. So it's very rewarding as a teacher, as you know.
For sure. And I, when we think about trying to explain the techniques, you know, if there's gobzillions of techniques all over the world, I do think Dr. Shea has honed down on some very effective ones. But if the audience wants to think about the old time movies would show a massage therapist doing gentle karate chops on you, that's kind of what we're talking about with percussive techniques. And if you rub yourself, you know, really fast when you're cold, that's tweena. You know, you're going to be moving the energy in the channels on the outside of your body, if you're rubbing on yourself or if somebody else is rubbing you. So it is, super ubiquitous. It's sort of all over the body. And, there's a whole lot of different movements from literally petting. So petting your animal, petting your dog, petting your cat, petting your horse. Those are all tweena techniques as well. So when we think about, describing them, you know, there can be little trembling. Like, if you get a lot of people have the massage guns now, and I will tell people to go buy them. Like, some people will have, find them very cheaply and have a little vibration. You can spend up to $200 and get the ones with a huge ball on the end of them. And, you know, those vibrations in sore areas on your horse can be really, really helpful. They can be really helpful in you too, because it's moving stuck energy. When we look at the body as every problem is stuck energy, how do we move this stuck energy? Well, we can use tweena to do it. We can use acupuncture to do it.
My partner and I have designed a therapeutic brush for grooming, bathing, bonding, but mostly for treatment. And the Qi University endorses it and markets it for us. It's called Curry on a Stick. That's STIK. And you can go on our website, curryonastick.com. And I do have horse videos in there on how to use this tweena techniques using our brush. So I encourage you to go there and perhaps even pick it up, because it's a great way, in addition to your hands, to provide a little bit of a mechanical advantage to get things moving better.
For sure. So if we think about the body as stuck energy, I when I took the tweena class, and really I took myofascial release before that, and I would question myself coming home from these trainings and think, well, how am I going to put this in my practice? And I find, as you kind of talked about, that it integrates really well with what we think of as chiropractic. So using tweena techniques, using myofascial techniques, and I think they're almost interchangeable. I think myofascial release is almost a different word for tweena, depending on your language. But if you can release the fascia around these bones, as you talked about, around these joints, around these areas that are experiencing problems, if you can release all that, then the joints just float again. So tweena to me has been, I do, my chiropractic involves tweena integrally. Like, most of the movements that I do, I think, with my chiropractic have evolved into using tweena techniques to move the bones, if that makes any sense.
So, you know, we always have hear these terms out there in our field, and maybe some out in their disciplines, the terms like ashi points, which are reactive points, myofascial trigger points, reactive acupoints. All of these are describing areas of focal local sensitivities. So the idea that if you have one of those, let's say you have sometimes over the middle of the lower part of the back, I'll have these knots and I'll just go after them using a combination of tweena techniques to get things to move through. And it's amazing how much they'll smooth out. And then from there, like you say, the joints go ahead and take their better place.
Yeah, for sure. So you use it a lot in your practice as well. Do you kind of do it separately from a chiropractic adjustment, or do you start every horse with it, like you talked about?
I do a combination. So I integrate both the spinal manipulation chiropractic with TCVM, and I just kind of go through. It's almost like a dance around the horse. And if I find something that needs a spinal manipulation or adjustment, I've got to follow up with something after that to try and hold that adjustment. So it's either going to be Twaina, or perhaps you use some acupuncture needles to take the local environment and put it at rest. In other words, muscle spasms, getting things to flow through. So Twaina is very much integrated in my daily treatment of a horse. And as we mentioned with Megan's case, I remember a case several years ago. It was this, a thoroughbred racehorse. He was a grade one winner. And he, the trainer asked me to take a look at him, and I had not done any work with him before. And so I went in there and I found out that he was a bit of a butthead. He did not want me to put any needles in. He was even resentful somewhat to the examination. So I said, okay, as Dr. Shea would say, well, this must be herbal case. Well, for me, I said, this must be Twaina case.
That, he said, so, that point unavailable.
That's right. So in the interest of my safety, I did 45 minutes of Twaina on this horse. The trainer came in after about 15 minutes and said, well, I see you had to sedate him, didn't you? I said, no, I didn't have to sedate him. He's just very much enjoying what I'm doing for him. That's so the point being that we may not be able to get after some of these, and we have the high performance horses in dressage and inventing and in racing. These are your wood and fire elements, as mentioned, and they sometimes do not appreciate you coming right in and poking on them. So you have to use other ways to get their confidence up. You have to use ways that, like say, maybe the next visit or two, three visits down the line, they'll open up to the idea that you're really a good guy. And my last few treatments were wonderful. So you can go ahead and poke me.
I've definitely had those situations where it's taken them some convincing, and I don't blame them at all. You know, they have been, I don't know that we smell like vets anymore, those of us who have crossed over to the dark side of holistic medicine, but they definitely get the idea that somebody's come into the stall to do another thing to me. So,
yeah. And sometimes when I'm looking at the horse and trying to determine its problem, and I think, Megan mentioned that we ought to understand what we're dealing with musculoskeletally before we do anything, meaning if there's significant lameness and really, really severe soreness, maybe we better look deeper before we start doing, because let's say the horse may have a fracture. Well, I don't really want to do chiropractic and or Twaina on a fracture.
For sure.
They may have tumors or infectious conditions, or you know, we may be working on a pregnant animal, and so, or they may have wounds and open sores. So we have to make sure that our techniques are considering some more serious problems before we do them.
And how about doing Twaina close to an athletic event? You know, when I do my Twaina, it's more of a chiropractic in-depth thing. Do you ever recommend Twaina techniques be done closer to performance than maybe 48 hours? Do anything like that?
I do. And I watched the video that was kind of a funny one way back where, the New York people had bought a horse and they didn't know anything about it. And they set it out in a race and it came out doing a gated experience and not running. So I don't want to be doing 15 different techniques on a horse and he's going to get his head down. And then the next day or that day or even 2 days to expect him to be 100%. But there are techniques that we can do. Like Safa, you've seen the old trainers for the racehorses where they're taking their hands back and forth on the lower limb, warming them up, getting them ready for exercise. So there's a number that we can do. It's just that the strength and the duration that we may do may be just light to get them to just stay free.
I'm giggling because you said something about those New York people. Is that kind of like Florida Man? Do you remember the Florida Man stuff that was going on for a while?
Yeah, but it was kind of almost looked like they were little mafia types, and they got a horse, but Joey didn't know what he was getting, and it wasn't a racehorse. I'm from New York,
fabulous.
So I can talk about that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You reserve the right. One of the things that has that we've talked about plenty that we should probably go into depth a little bit more about is, for all of you listening, how do you find somebody that is trained in this medicine? And we've gotten some feedback on our podcasts such that people love to listen to the herbs and they love to listen to the cases, but they have a hard time finding a practitioner finding the herbs is what I should say. They say, well, we can't use them because we can't get them. And we've had some feedback about how John and I, that people have tried to contact us through the university, and really your best bet for utilizing this medicine, all of you horse owners out there, is to find a practitioner in your area. And I understand that it's more available in some areas than others. And my heart goes out to you for those who are having a hard time finding a vet, let alone a TCVM practitioner. But if you go to, if you can call the university to help you find, you should be able to call them, or go to their website and look up, find a practitioner by me. There is a website that exists, and maybe some people are having a hard time getting to it. But you can go under the search engine. It'll have find a vet. If you put your zip code in, it will bring up a list of folks, and it will actually tell you how they're trained. So have they taken the acupuncture class? Are they certified in acupuncture? Have they taken herbs? There's a legend that will tell you how much training. And then, of course, it's really great to call the veterinarian themselves and talk to them about that sort of thing. But one of the important reasons that this is done by vets and it isn't totally accessible is that proper training is required, especially to do herbal medicine. So we talk about these herbals and, you know, we love to talk about body sore and Shen Calmer and herbs that we use quite a bit. But the bottom line is that if a person doesn't understand that whole tongue diagnosis, the tongue color and the pulse diagnosis, and if you don't understand the Chinese diagnosis of things, then there are lots of herbs out there that will do more harm to your horse than good. And so it's very important that they're not accessible to the public because, you know, John and I love to talk about our cases with all of our guests, but the bottom line is that you need somebody who knows what they're doing, and not that John and I know everything, but you need somebody who's been trained in this. In for example, there are four herbs that I use pretty extensively in horses. There are four different herbs for arthritic change. So there's an herb to put it shortly, if your horse is worse in the cold. There's an herb for if your horse is worse in the change of weather or the rain. There's an herb for if your horse is actually worse in the hot weather. So horses that are cushionoid, there is a wonderful herb for Cushing's disease. It tends to help them a lot. But there are herbs that are of similar approach to the body in a cooling way that are very helpful for arthritic change. I have a client in Maryland who has he's 28 now, dressage schoolmaster. He went to Grand Prix. He was amazing. And we put him on one of these herbals 3 years ago. He was being ridden lightly and he's back. I don't know that they're showing him, but he's performing dramatically better. And she is so tickled. So, that couldn't have happened unless I had some experience in prescribing herbal medicine and I sort of knew which one to pick, if that makes any sense. So John, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think, you know, your comment's really important that many times there's three or four different herbs for what Western medicine would cause one name to, even in the case of thyroid, hypothyroidism. Well, we have three different herbs that we can use, and each one has a specific reason for doing. So it's not like if you're sitting there and your neighbor's using a particular herb and you think you have the same problem. You really need to know if you do, because it's not that cookbook type of approach. And this is powerful medicine. The herbs are very strong. And if they were not directed in the right way, like Allison mentioned, you could actually cause more problems than good.
For sure. And, you know, really, that is also the beauty of Chinese medicine. So take your hypothyroid situation. If you're taking three different approaches, it means that herbally, you can be more specific to your animal's spider web of imbalance. You know, we all have different facets of our body and how our, you know, different imbalances in our body. What's the word I'm looking for? It's like a mosaic. And so the Chinese herbal medicine takes an approach toward the body that is so elegant, really. It is an elegant approach to the body.
That's the key because, you know, in that case of hypothyroidism in the horse, you know, typically what happens is you put them on levothyroxine or a supplement. And if you were to test the horse's thyroid level prior to putting it on and then come put it on for 3 months and then take it off and retest it, the level will be very close to where it was. I've had many, many cases using the herbal formulations and find out that if I originally test them, put them on an herb for 3 months, take them off, their thyroid level is normal. So what we did was we actually balanced the body to do its work as opposed to providing with just a supplement on top of a problem.
So let me repeat that, what John just said, in case anybody out there didn't think they heard that correctly. The thyroid hormones came down to normal. We rebalanced the body, and so it healed. And I think from a Western perspective, sometimes we get these diagnoses and we think, oh, I have arthritis, or I have a thyroid disease, or I have Cushing's disease. And Chinese medicine looks at it that the body can heal itself. I have also had situations where Cushing's hormones and Cushing's blood work comes down to normal. And that's mind-boggling to me, but it's really cool how Chinese medicine can take a different approach and truly rebalance the body to allow it to heal itself. It opens the doors and the body can go forward. And so I'll add this too. The longer you've had a problem with your horse, the harder it's going to be to fix with any medicine. But if you can, you know, if you can rule things out from a Western perspective or get the diagnosis, maybe we pull blood and we go, yep, all of these clinical signs we can attribute to thyroid disease. Then we can take those of us who do Chinese medicine, we can go, oh, we got an herb for that. Let me come out and see which one is specific for your animal. So just to address that to some of the feedback that we've been getting, how, gosh, we want to get these herbs and we want to do all that. You do have to go through somebody who's trained, because when you're trained or when you practice this medicine, it is so cool. That's just
yeah, and I find it cool. I find it difficult sometimes to, and I get asked to a lot is treat things over the phone, and if I don't have somebody that has any association with TCVM, I find it very difficult to recommend. And it's not that I'm looking to get a call charge and a fee for the process. I'm wanting to make sure that I give you the right medicine.
That's right. Totally agree. So everybody in the horse world today, we have a really special guest that we're going to talk to. Her name is Megan Kerford, Dr. Megan Kerford, and she is a veterinarian at Laurel Park Track and at the racetracks up in Maryland. And as John and I have been telling you about already today, she's going to be talking about a case in which she incorporated this branch of Chinese medicine called Tuina. And so really, we have a lot of options when we consider Chinese medicine. And Dr. Megan has incorporated Tuina a lot into her practice. And we're really interested to hear about some of the successes that she's had with that. So hi, Megan. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you today?
Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. So you're going to bring us this great case in which, if I remember correctly, you did not do a lot of acupuncture on this horse, but you did a lot of Tuina and a lot of chiropractic. And why don't you give us kind of the background and tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So first, I just want to start by saying I use probably Tuina in all of my cases to some degree. I tend to work on mainly thoroughbreds that are 3 to 6 years old. And they tend to be fire and wood, and a lot of them are not, they don't like needles right away. So I use it a lot in my practice to get horses a little bit more amicable to what I'm doing. But this is a really interesting case because it changed, it evolved. So it was a 4-year-old thoroughbred gelding who had just shipped to Laurel Park, and he had a head tilt. And I quite often hear in my practice, well, he's always gone that way, or they've always looked that way. Well, generally, if there's an issue in gait, they're not supposed to look that way.
Always is kind of a stretch when you're talking about young horses. They probably haven't known them for more than a couple months.
Right. And they'd only had him 2 weeks. So I thought, well, yes, but that's not normal. Horses shouldn't stare at the ceiling. And the riders complained that he lugged in, which to me made sense because the way his eye was, of course, he's going to drift the way his head goes. So it took me a while to get permission to do TCVM. I'd done a full lameness exam. They wanted to try conventional medicine, like Western medicine, with no avail. So I finally had permission to work on the horse. And he did not like needles. So after my initial assessment of him, he had some chiropractic adjustments that needed done. But he was very sore and he did not like being touched at all. So I started with tween eye. So basically with the tween eye, it's kind of like massage. But I picked very specific acupuncture points to get release. And it also, I find with my hands, makes it easier sometimes to adjust them after I've used tween eye. So he had a lot of cervicals, neck issues. So I worked a lot on his neck. And I also put him on a herbal formula called cervical formula. And I saw quite a bit of improvement. And he ran, and he ran second. So I continued this line of treatment until basically he ran second a few times and his head went straight eventually. But then he started getting a really sore back. And I attributed that to the fact that he was now moving correctly now and using muscles correctly. So I also added in body sore, which is just generally I find is good for body pain. And he went on to have another second. And riders no longer complained about his movement, but then the trainer felt it wasn't helping. So they took him off of everything. And I said, if nothing else, keep him on the body sore. The horse continued to run and didn't hit the board in the next four starts. And in fact, I want to say he was ninth in one of his races. So they asked me to come back and he had a little bit of a head tilt again. And worked him through that. And now I was actually able to use some acupuncture points, which I focused more on his hind end because he just seemed to have more pain in his hind end at that point. And lo and behold, he won. So I made them believers out of TCVM in general. I thought this was a really interesting case because I used all of the modalities.
You it was awesome because you dropped so many racing terms in your last little monologue there that we'll have to go over. Lugging in is sort of drifting left. Would you call it that?
Yes.
So how many times did you treat him in that first little bit where, you know, you were asked to see him and you treated him, you said you treated him consecutively and then he started doing really well. Why don't you talk a little bit more about that?
So I like to go every 2 weeks. And with the racehorses, especially with him, because it was a lot of neck issues, I don't like to do them right before they run. I try to be at least 72 hours out, if not 5 days. I think it's really important that the horse has a chance to go to the racetrack and train after, especially when I'm doing adjustments. I should also mention, I use the word chiropractic instead of spinal manipulation, but I did my chiropractic through ACES. So that's why I tend to use the term chiropractic instead of the spinal manipulation.
I think maybe some people don't know that spinal manipulation and chiropractic are sort of interchangeable terms. And that depending on where the veterinarian gets trained, they refer to it as either veterinary spinal manipulative therapy or animal chiropractic or veterinary chiropractic. So they're really interchangeable terms, in my humble opinion.
Along that line, you know, our teacher, which was done in local here in Ocala at the Chi University, her comments were that chiropractic is a medicine that is done by human chiropractors and that are certified for that. So she felt uncomfortable using that term in our class. So that's where the spinal manipulation came in.
Right. And I was trained in Wisconsin originally. So, and they use those interchangeably, but they usually use VSMT as the main one. But I think the original, not to digress too far, but the original veterinary chiropractic training was Options for Animals, and that's out in Kansas, and they call it animal chiropractic.
So back to the case. I guess I should just a little bit more about what I actually did. I mentioned a couple terms that maybe I'll clarify. I had said racehorses tend to be wood and fire. So just to clarify, those personality traits tend to be dominant, aggressive, like to win.
Right.
Competitive, all of those things. And if they are not balanced, they can be aggressive. And so working on them can be a little bit more difficult than working on a horse that's out in the pasture. And so that's why when I said I couldn't do needles right away, these are younger horses. They will kick, they will bite. They'll tell you right away what they will and will not tolerate. So in this particular guy's case, as we progressed and his back started to get sore, he became a little bit more aggressive in the hind end, which is why I stuck with the tween eye, because I was able to choose acupuncture points that normally I would needle and I would tween eye them instead, and got great results throughout, I ended up working on them for about over 5 months. And then something else that's very important is I try to give my clients things to do with their horses when I'm not there. So in this particular horse's instance, the trainer's wife owned him. So she actually worked with him herself. And a lot, some of the things that we were working on were circling. So kind of on a lunge line, I would have her circle him both ways multiple times in the morning when they were walking him, just to get him bending that neck. Because when they're on the racetrack, a lot of the times they're straight and they only turn when they go around the corner. Other things was to do some feed treats to get him to bend his neck and stretch it down through his pole. And I think that was very beneficial for his long-term gains that he had. The unfortunate thing is at the racetrack, to be considered successful, people want to see wins. So even though he ran second four times, which is phenomenal because he hadn't hit the board, the trainer wanted a win. So when he didn't see the win, he felt it wasn't working. But as I had already mentioned, when we came back and treated him again, he then came back and won right away. So it was a very successful case. They were very happy with him, and he actually was bought right after that race. And so I lost track of him. He was no longer part of my practice. He moved racetracks after this.
So, Megan, I want to firstly commend you for the idea that, and I do a lot of work with thoroughbreds, not on the racetrack, but at home. So I'm dealing with training centers, which is not too far off from having a trainer at the track. But when they first say, you know, I don't really want to do that, I want to go ahead and let's try some bute, let's try some dexamethasone. And I think that continuing the dialogue with them with optimism that, you know, once I get the door in, then maybe you'll be able to see, as opposed to not continue trying. And the idea that you spent 5 months working with this horse and didn't give up, and the idea that I think we could help him was wonderful. And like I said, I find that oftentimes the old schoolers are not real open to alternative medicine in a lot of ways.
The gentle modalities that we're using, so chiropractic, acupuncture, tween eye, herbals, all that sort of thing, when you see improvements, they're much more subtle than we give them a shot of Dex and we see a huge result the next day. So it's lovely that everybody involved in all of our practices can see these more subtle changes as improvements and see that they're building over time. I think that's really spectacular too.
What I would like to just say with regards to the racing industry, it's changing tremendously and has, like, I've been in the race since I was, I don't want to say how old I am, but 30 years. And I find my clients now, I've been here at the track a long time. My clients respect my opinion, and I've also have chosen clients that have the same mentality of me as me when it comes to training. They are much more open to the longevity of their horses now. And I'm very lucky with my practice and my clients, because most of them, we do something and they know it's not, okay, we're going to do this at 48 hours and that horse is going to win. We now look at it like we're going to start treating this horse now. And 3 months from now, there's a race. That's what we're aiming for. We have 3 months to get this horse to 110%. And I think it's important to recognize how racing has changed. As you mentioned, John, before it was, you know, one shot deal. If it didn't work, let's not do it again. Whereas now trainers are much more going for the longevity. They're in it for the long haul with their horses.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and also I find it really good. When I studied Tuena, I would go ahead and, for the most part, give those exercises to the groom or to the trainer or to the owner. And then as I evolved, I began to say, listen, you do the medicine. And then show them some after things that can do. You're there every 2 weeks. They can be working on that every day to, you know, to support what you've shown them or what your diagnosis is. So that's a hugely important part to this, to make that team effort, that what they're helping you with specific techniques that you're demonstrating. And then when you get there, you got a much better horse.
100%. And actually, in that case we were just talking about, I'm a big fan. You can get these massagers from the dollar store that take AA batteries, and they just have very slight vibration. So it's not enough that anyone could hurt a horse, but it's just enough vibration. I think it helps. And so in that particular case, I had the owner working on the horse's lumbar region, and SI, so like bladder 23, just down there, 18 to 23, with the handheld massager. And the rider noticed a difference. If she hadn't done it for a couple of days, the horse would feel tighter in the back. So, and then that also reinforces the owner, trainer, groom to want to do that because they see the difference.
And I think both Allison and I would, and you would agree that the idea of sometimes when we go after us, particularly these wood sore horses, they really don't want you to do a whole lot, particularly with needles. So, and the idea that you have the disciplines of chiropractic and Tuena, oftentimes it's so much better to do the Tuena first, because we know that if we don't adjust the soft tissues around that problem, it's just going to be there in our face next week or the next day. So using those Tuena techniques allows the local environment to be much more receptive for the chiropractic adjustment.
And I find, especially if it's a first time and the horse is already tense, I go in and I just do the Tuena, and you leave and the horse is relaxed and he had a good experience. And the next time you come, he's much more open to maybe doing an adjustment or maybe putting in a couple needles. But for me at the track, Tuena is probably the biggest tool in my toolbox. I mean, I can use all of it, but without that, a lot of those horses, I wouldn't get comfortable enough to be able to proceed further. It's a game changer.
Very important.
And you can show owners easy little, you can show them how to do a little bit, like you said, a little bit of it themselves, so then they feel like they're part of the solution. And I think that's super important, that they feel involved in the process.
Yeah, and it's important that you demonstrate it properly to them, and even in follow-up, because sometimes I've seen, no, that's not exactly how I showed you to do it, but let's review and do it this way.
Awesome. So you did mention that you use your Tuena a lot, and that's really how you start when you're asked to work on a case with either chiropractic or acupuncture. Is that correct?
Right. So generally when I'm also all of my clients... vet. So I'm their Western medicine vet as well. So generally when I look at a horse, we start from the Western medicine point of view, and I do lameness exams and make sure we don't need to x-ray or ultrasound. There's nothing more serious. And then we move into that. So any horse I work on, I never go in and I say, I'm going to acupuncture this horse, or I'm going to chiro this horse. We go in and we go over the horse and we figure out what the horse needs that day. And so every time I treat a horse, it might be different depending on how the horse is feeling that day. And I use all three interchangeably. I let the horse tell me what it needs and what I think is, and I actually use quite a bit of electroacupuncture at the racetrack as well. I find all of that works so well. And I don't even know what the term would be. I guess the term is a TCVM doctor, because that's what I do. I use all the modalities, including the herbs. I don't do a lot of food therapy at the racetrack, mainly because I don't know enough, and trainers know how to feed their horses. They don't need me telling them to change their diets. So I stay away from the food therapy. But
you know what I found, though? A lot of trainers use sweet potatoes, and sweet potatoes is food therapy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, our food therapy is fairly limited in horses as compared to people or dogs or anything like that. And I was, that's kind of where I started using sweet potatoes more often in my private practice, not the racetrack, is that I'd see boxes of sweet potatoes at the racetrack, and, you know, carrots and whole flax. And, you know, I do think my impression was, you're there way more than I am, but, you know, I'd say that qualifies. So
in one training center that I had here locally in the Ocala area, they were going through 50 pounds of sweet potatoes a week. And that's because they had 85 horses in training, and they saw the benefit of it. So they had one person all day long chopping up sweet potatoes.
It's really all about health from the inside out. And I said to one of my colleagues one time, I think Western medicine has a corner on about 10% of the answers. I think our holistic training has another 10%, but it puts in perspective that there's just 80% we don't know. And sometimes it takes the village of all of those things together. You know what I mean? You have to start somewhere. We live in America, so we start with our Western medicine approach. Anytime I see a new horse, I watch them jog. I do a neuro exam. I want to know what I'm dealing with as well. But then, you know, utilizing those other modalities to strengthen the animal is just super cool.
And one thing I'll say at the track is, which I didn't really mention, but gut health is so important, because if the horse doesn't have a healthy gut, I find then they get ulcers, and then they tie up, and then they bleed. And it's just a downfall if the horse doesn't have a proper gut. So that's key. And even in this horse, I don't know if it was mentioned, but I'm sure he was on Gastrogard of some sort of gut support, or gut X. There are many different products that people use, but I find that is number one. If you don't have a balance, like spleen, you're just, it's a downfall from there. So
for sure,
that's key.
For sure. And the sweet potatoes, for any of the listeners, sweet potatoes are nurturing for the GI tract. So they are really lovely. They're what we call an earth food, and the spleen, which is indicative of digestive function, and the stomach are both earth. They function in the earth sphere of elements. So feeding your horse sweet potatoes, and I'll digress on that for just a minute. You know, I don't know how people do it at the racetrack, but I would recommend either one small sweet potato or about a half a sweet potato once or twice a day, and that can be fed in treats or chunked up, and the feeding is raw. So I think that really helps those gut horses, period. I don't know how much they feed at the track, but that's about how much I say.
May take the horse a day or two or even a week to appreciate that, oh, this is really a neat food. So if they don't take it the first time, don't give up.
Just like anything, sometimes they don't like it right away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't like it right away.
True.
Awesome, Megan. Well, thanks for bringing that and bringing your neat perspective on the equine world to us today.
Great. Thank you. Guys, have a great day.
So I hope you all enjoyed our in-depth discussion of a very different modality today of Chinese medicine called Tuina. It's really amazing to utilize. I think that horses, since they love their body work so much, are very amenable to that. And Dr. Kerford's case certainly supported all of that. So as we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, if you're interested in finding all of this medicine for your horse, it's important that you find a proper practitioner. So you can go to the Qi University website, which is chiu.edu. So chiu.edu. Or you can go to TCVM.com, which is traditional Chinese veterinary medicine.com. That'll probably get you farther, actually. And if you go to TCVM.com, then, you can find, they have a little button on there that says find a practitioner. And if you plug in your zip code, you can go and try and find, the folks that you need to work on your horse. So we love that everybody's really interested in it, and we're trying our very best to make this medicine more accessible everywhere in the world, because Qi University is in 20 different countries. They teach in 20 different countries, which I think is awfully cool. Well, I've got not one, but two quotes today for the end of this, podcast. Number one is from Mother Teresa, and it says, "We cannot do great things on this earth, only small things with great love." And number two, which I think is poignant, is Dr. Conrad Lorenz, who is a famous psychologist, I think. And he said, "I believe I have found the missing link between the animal world and the civilized man. It is us."